Some of you didn't want that to end, did you? I can tell. I was watching you go, it's going to end in just a minute or two, you know, like that. Bob Ross, I mean, come on, who doesn't love Bob Ross? Yay. Did you find yourself just kind of like, did you, like breathing? You know, okay, just a sec. Thank you for the hand clap. I actually didn't paint it. My assistant did. Anyway, okay, so there you go. We'll put Bob Ross right there somewhere. Perfect. All right. Oh, but, however. Trees, right? Bob Ross trees. I mean, you have to admit that for at least some of us, you know, maybe some of us go, hey, I hate Bob Ross. Now, who could hate Bob Ross, but maybe some of you are out there. For most of us, we kind of find ourselves like focusing on that kind of like, oh, you just got to get that kind of, anybody? Is that, or is it just me? Okay, yeah. Okay, let me toss some other things your way, okay, that kind of make you kind of like relax and breathe just a little bit. How about a puppy washing his face? Okay, now some of you, right, you go, okay, now I get that, okay. So I have a dog, not this kind of dog, but I was watching her the other day and she was licking her paw and, you know, kind of doing her ear type of thing. And I just stared at her and I thought, kind of got that breath. Okay, how about this one here? Kitty. Oh, not so many cat people. What's the matter with you people? Okay, how about this one here? Okay, so when I was growing up, we had fish. So, right. So, like, I found that I could watch fish swim for a long period of time. And it's just kind of like you have those moments where you just kind of step out of life and the hurry and the bustle of life. You just kind of breathe. Yes? Yes? The problem is all of these have a shelf life. So if you ever notice your fish swimming upside down or floating, right? It's over, right? There's no more like watching the fish swim. I mean, these things have a shelf life to them. That is, they end at some point. I want you to think about that for just a moment because that's what I want to talk to you about today. My wife, now we do shopping together, and so we have the shopping list. And so oftentimes, even if we're in the store, she sends me for stuff right now. I'm pretty good at getting stuff that she sends me for. And almost every time, I promise you, almost every time, you know, if it's like a fresh item, she will ask me one question. Do you know what it is? Did you check the lid? List. No. Did you check the list? No. No. Did you check the date? Oh. Okay, the date, because there's an expiration date, right? Yes, yeah, so did you check the date? Well, you should. That's what I meant. And so anyway, and here's the deal. There is no grocery store person that's going to trick my wife by putting the old stuff up front. Because she will reach in the back, right, and grab the fresh stuff. And so anyway, the point is, it all has an expiration date. Peace on earth. And I have this question for you today. Is it even possible? Is it possible that we can experience this right here as people? And I have kind of two questions related to that, and they're kind of confusing. The first one is it possible? Yes, depending on how you define peace and your source of peace. So the answer is yes. But the answer is also no, depending on how you define peace and your source of peace. And I want to talk about that today because it seems like that we're living in this time when there's this real search for the answer to this question, like, can there ever be peace on earth when we hear of so much going on and we're living, as Josiah, you just mentioned, in such weird, odd times that seem to bring a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. How can you and I experience the peace that I believe is available for each one of us? Some of you have entered right into that, and I want to affirm that today. Some of us are struggling just a little bit. I want to try and help us out. Some of us have not even discovered yet what we're talking about. And I want to talk about that as well. I want to tell you a story from the Bible. But before I do, I want to kind of set the context, kind of the setting for the story. It comes out of Luke chapter 7, and here's what we need to know. Of course, most of the roads in Jesus' time, we were not paved roads. Like most were unpaved, and normal foot attire, right? People wore sandals. That was just kind of normal. And because of the dirt, because of the dust, and because of what we were wearing, your feet would get dirty, right? Right? Your feet would get dirty. So that was kind of the setting and the culture of this story as well. It's common to have dusty and dirty feet. It was also the custom to provide some way of cleaning your feet. So before you came in for the meal, so water or something. And so if, you know, we were living during that time, I would come to your house, you'd come to my house and you would have dirty feet, and I would provide something for you to clean your feet. And then also kind of interesting to know is like parties or dinners where a rabbi was invited were open for others to kind of drop in and listen. So it was kind of an open time and open setting for people just to come and to listen to what was being taught. So that's the cultural setting of this story from the Bible. A Pharisee invited Jesus over to his house to eat dinner. And while he was reclining at the table, while he was there, a woman from the city who was known as a sinner arrives. She brings with her what the Bible calls is a flask of ointment. Now, a flask is probably maybe a little bit more clearly defined as like probably a box or something like an alabaster box or something of ointment. And she came in to this setting, and she stood behind Jesus, and she began to weep. And she began to weep tears, and the Bible says that she actually wet his feet with her tears, wiping them with her hair, anointing him, rubbing ointment and anointing and weeping and crying at the feet of Jesus, this woman of the city, this sinner. Well, the Pharisee was standing off, and he's thinking, like, does he know who this woman is? Because if he knew, I mean, if he's really a prophet, he should know that this is a sinner touching him. I'm going to just pause for just a moment. I'd like for you to just kind of put yourself into that story. Can you do that? And you relate to the woman and her response to Jesus? Or maybe the Pharisee standing back going like, does he really, really know? You know, he's a prophet, he should know. Or maybe the crowd that was assembled there, the people in the house, you know, who are like going like, what is going on here? And where do you find yourself in the story? Because what Jesus does is kind of interesting. So while the Pharisee Simon was thinking of this, Jesus kind of reaches into his mind and he says, Simon, I have something to tell you. To which he responded, well, then just say it, Jesus. I'm thinking, well, Jesus is going to affirm what I just thought. And Jesus tells him, him a story. He said, just say that there are two people, and by comparison, one is forgiven, say, $500, and the other is forgiven $50. Simon, which one do you think would love the most? And Simon says, well, for sure, of course, the one who was forgiven $500 because the debt was greater. And Jesus says, you have judged rightly. And then he goes on and he talks about the woman. He says, you know, since this woman has arrived, she has not stopped kissing me. She is my feet. She's not anointed me. Simon, you didn't do that. She has not stopped washing my feet. Simon, you didn't even provide water. And then she says something to this. Jesus says something to this woman. And this is what I want to talk about. He says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Think about that for just a moment. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He proclaims that her sins were forgiven, and now she could go in peace. And here's what I don't want you to miss in this story. She had lived a sin. She had lived a sinful life. She was probably a prostitute. That's why she was known. And that's why the Pharisees characterize her as a sinner. Jesus says, though her sins are many. So that was her life. She wasn't an invited guest. She just dropped in. The cultural setting allowed for that. But her faith saved her. And now she could go in peace. Though her sins were many, it didn't matter. Her faith had saved her. Now she could go in peace. And that's the connection that I want to talk about. That when we as followers of Jesus come to the realization that, look, we have been set free, we can now live in peace. Eternal and lasting peace is a result of trusting in Jesus. Eternal lasting peace is the result of trusting in Jesus. Though our sins were many, perhaps for some of us, maybe we can relate to that part of the story. Eternal lasting peace is the result of trusting or believing in Jesus. And it's interesting because in the story, remember the Pharisee says, look, this woman, you know, who is known in the city, who is sinful, Jesus knew who was touching her. I mean, he's a prophet, right? Right? Others knew her by her what? Her past, who she was. Jesus knew her by her present, who she was now. Others looked at her and said, that's who she was, that's who she is. Jesus says, no, that's not who she is. She is a child of God, and now she can go in peace. It's really interesting, this one part of the story, that says she wet the feet of Jesus with her tears. She wet them with her tears. Here's why it's interesting. Because wet, the Greek word for wet, literally means rain. And I want you to think about that. We know what rain here is in the Northwest, don't we? So read the story this way. Her tears rained on the feet of Jesus. Her tears rained on Jesus. That's how deeply she felt this forgiveness was that she had experienced. Her tears rained. They wet the feet of Jesus. I love how Luther describes it. He just describes it this way. It's heart water. Heart water came right from her heart. Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 through 7 says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, are you ready? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and say it with me, the Prince of Peace. Four descriptive words of Jesus, Wonderful Counselor. Think about it for just a moment. He is our guide. He is the one who walks beside us. He knows every detail of our life and offers us guidance and counsel. If that doesn't bring us a source of peace, I'm not sure what does. But he's our wonderful counselor. Mighty God, think about that for just a moment. God is mighty and can do the impossible in your life and the impossible in my life. Sometimes I think we kind of step away from that realization. He's a mighty God that we serve. I mean, listen, there's nothing that he can't do. So I probably like you, so I wake up sometimes during the night, sometimes more often than I want. And what I try to do each time is to pray. I don't want to sound super spiritual because sometimes like all I try to do is go back to sleep. But, you know, most of the time I try to at least say, look, the devil's going to wake me up, I'm going to pray. So this morning I was awake early, early morning, and so I was praying. I was praying to a mighty God to please intervene in the life of some people that I'm praying for. Some people that if he doesn't intervene miraculously, then there is no way out of the situation. He's a mighty God. So we don't pray to some God who, you know, maybe he can or maybe he can't. He's a mighty God that we pray for. And I don't know about you, but that brings me comfort and that brings me peace. How about this? Everlasting Father. He is and he was and he always will be the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He knows your days right now and he knows your future, even the next second and the next minutes and the next hours and the next day. He is everlasting Father. He is in all and he is over all, and he has your future and he has my future in his hands. Amen. Prince of Peace, he is our peace and the author of all that is good. And he's the only one who can offer us eternal peace. He's the only one that allows us to step into this place where we can actually go and breathe with no expiration date. The video doesn't end, right? The fish doesn't swim upside down. Whatever, whatever, whatever. He's the Prince of Peace. And he says to you, and he says to me, right? Your faith has saved you. Go in peace, just like the woman in that story. Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with what? Great fear. Not just kind of like normal fear, but great fear. We probably would be too. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Imagine the scene for a moment. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those who he is pleased. It's been stated, and I love this phrase, God gets the glory, you get the peace. God gets the glory, and you and I get the peace for what he has done. A key focus in the New Testament, as you read through there, of course, is the advent or the coming of Jesus, our peace. John Piper said it this way, I love it. He says, first and foremost, God is glorified because this child is born. And second, peace is to spread everywhere this child is received. These are the great purposes for the coming of Jesus. Glory ever ascending from man to God. Peace ever descending from God to man. God's glory sung out among men for the sake of his name. God's peace lived out among men for the sake of his name. I love this, right? Glory ever ascending from man to God. That's our worship of him, giving him glory, however it is that we worship. And peace ever descending from God to man because of what he has done. To all who have received Christ and trust in him as Lord will live in and experience the daily peace that only he gives. And this is important for us to understand. It's not our version of peace. Because like we're always trying to figure out a version of peace, right, that we can just kind of settle into for just a little bit. It's not our version of peace. It's Jesus Christ himself coming into our lives and offering the peace that only God can bring. He alone is the God of peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things," and here it is, "and the God of peace will be with you." So I'm going to give you this morning a couple bluffs, okay? So a bluff, some of you will recognize the term, bluff, B-L-U-F. Everybody say bluff. So it's not like I'm bluffing you. Bluff means bottom line up front, okay? Bottom line up front. So here we go. You cannot experience the peace of God without being at peace with God. You cannot separate the two. I'll say it again. You cannot experience the peace of God unless you experience peace with God. You can't separate the two. And people today are trying to pursue a life of peace without God. You can't experience the peace of God unless you're at peace with God. And I'll tell you how to enter into that. Many of you already have. It's important for us to really, really understand that, because man today is pursuing peace outside of a relationship with God. And this disconnect is causing us to go in all kinds of different directions. Here's the second bluff. Here it is right here. We were born disconnected from Jesus, our eternal peace, each and every one of us. We were born disconnected. Another way to say it from the Bible, like, we were born into sin, disconnected from God. And this disconnection has caused us to search for peace all over the place. Meaning, some are on a search for peace via relationships with other people. And here's what we've discovered. That doesn't always work out. You know, some of us have been or are in a relationship and we thought it was all that we need. If I could just find the right person, then my life will be fulfilled. And what we've discovered is that people fail. And so your search for peace is taking you down a relationship path that hasn't worked out for you. For some, we've thought, like, okay, we can just, like, get enough money and finances. If I can just, like, get to the next level, then, of course, I will be at peace. And what you've discovered is that search has led you nowhere, right? Because there isn't enough money in the world to buy the eternal peace we're talking about today, right? Not enough money at all. Some of us have pursued actually isolation. Like, so if I can just, like, step out of this world and just isolate myself, then I can be at peace. And we've discovered that doesn't work as either, because, like, we're still stuck with ourselves. That's why. And so that's not working out very well. And then some of us are like, we buy stuff. So I know we're in the shopping season. I just read the other day that this season right now, I mean, like, there was more, I forget, like, billions of dollars it was spent. There are people thinking, I can just shop my way in the peace. And that leads us in all kinds of different directions. So, you know, so one of the items I discovered, I didn't even know this existed, that people are buying today. Not black toilet paper. Now, like, we're struggling to find toilet paper, right? So this is kind of crazy. So black toilet paper, like, okay, I know what's going to happen now. No one's going to raise their hand. No one in the chat box, online, you're not going to say, like, I bought some. You're just not going to do that, right? Although I did have someone text me a picture of red toilet paper. Anyway, so, but no one's going to say, oh, yeah, I bought some of that, you know. No, so, I mean, this is really odd. Okay, so here's the deal. Black toilet paper was actually listed as Amazon's choice. So if you're going to buy colored toilet paper, it's like, and so the description was this, like, this is the ultimate accessory for your contemporary bathroom. I had to read the reviews, or some of them. I go, oh, really? Are you serious? I just give you three, okay? Okay, ready? It leaves black particles behind. And there's a light smell that comes from it. I'm thinking, well, duh, you know, okay. All right. Okay, how about this one? These are small rolls, only bought due to the shortage everywhere. So out of desperation, right? Just how you mentioned toilet paper earlier, okay. And this one, I don't get this one at all. Okay, it pops in my bathroom and leads to gun discussions. What is that? I don't know. But I have another bottom line up front for you. Here it is. Pursuit of peace, anything, pursuits of peace outside of God will always be temporary and superficial experiences. You can have all the black toilet paper, all the contemporary this or all the contemporary that. And if that's your source of peace, it is always temporary and superficial. This journey, this seeking of eternal peace must lead us to belief in Jesus, the one who died for our sins and offers us life and peace. And that's why I said at the very start, how you answer the question is critical. It's yes, depending upon your source, and it's no, depending on how you define peace and your source of peace. Yes, if your pursuit leads you to Jesus and to eternal peace with God. Yes, no, if it leads you anywhere else. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And then John 3:16, that's a passage that a lot of people have memorized. For God so loved the world that he what gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And how are we justified? That is, declared righteous or brought into right relationship based on the sacrificial life of Jesus. It's simple. It's faith. And I've said it this way, and I'll say it again today. This call into right relationship is both inclusive and exclusive, meaning that it's inclusive because the call is for all. Jesus died for the world, for you and for me. But it's exclusive in nature, meaning that there's only one way to peace with God, to the Father, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. So while it's inclusive for all, it's exclusive. The only way to come into eternal peace is through Jesus and faith in him. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you've entered into that place, you can live at peace. But I want to offer two responses today. And then I'm praying that you and I, each one of us, will respond in one way. Number one, if you are searching for peace outside of a relationship with Jesus, I'm inviting you today to trust in him, to declare him as Lord of your life. Here's what you will experience. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So if you're listening and, you know, we don't know who it is, but we do know that in our, what we call a hot map, people all over the world listening, and so thank you. Do you know him today? Or is your search for peace taking you in all kinds of different directions? Do you know him? Have you experienced the peace of God? You can, by placing your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you in just a few moments. But I want to talk to those of you who have come to faith, but there's still a struggle going on. Look, we're human. So the second question for all of us is this: if you are a follower of Jesus but find yourself being drawn away from your life in Christ, I'm inviting you to turn away from those things that seek to destroy this eternal peace in Jesus. I'm not talking about your eternal life. I believe that's secure in Jesus. I am talking about those things that seek to pull us away. That means as a follower of Jesus, the question is this: do you find yourself starting to seek these other things, starting to find your joy, find your peace in things that are contemporary, things like black toilet paper, stuff in life? And if you only had more of this, you could do more for Jesus and you would be happier. You find yourself there. I'm going to pray two prayers. One is for those of you who have never experienced the peace of God and place your faith and trust in Jesus. I've said it this way, there are no magic words. It's just saying, Jesus, I trust in you and I believe in you and I give you my life. And he says to you, like he said to me and millions of people, your faith has saved you. Now you can go in peace. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to invite you to pray along with me. And then for all who are followers of Jesus, but we're struggling because that pull is always there. Can we just come back to that place where, Jesus, you're my peace. And I don't need anything else. It all can disappear, but I can be at peace. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I pray for those who may be joining me right now and praying, God, for the very first time, to trust in you and to believe in you. God, we've been chasing peace in a lot of other ways. And so today we just say, "Get Jesus, I'm trusting you. I'm believing in you. I give my life to you. Got to make you Lord of my life." And if you prayed those simple words from your heart, I'd like you to respond online by just hitting that button. And if you want prayer, a host will connect with you. But let us know. And Jesus, I pray for so many of us that are struggling in life today. We sense the pull. Maybe we found ourselves really chasing things. God, you're our Lord and you're our Savior, but we've been sucked into other things. It might be relationships. It might be chasing finances. It might be chasing other things. They've pulled us away. But God, today we're just coming back and declaring our peace is in you. In Jesus' name.